John chapter 1, we're going to read the first 18 verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me,' because he was before me. And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." And may God again bless us with that reading from his holy and inerrant word. Now, for the children again, I want to embarrass you by asking to put your hands up. You can just think about this. Don't even know the question yet. How many of you are expecting or anticipating, would you like to throw in big words now and again for the children to look up? How many of you are anticipating receiving a Christmas present this afternoon? And if you did put your hands up, you'd probably put your hands up and say, "No, I'm not." Because you're not anticipating a Christmas present. You're anticipating several Christmas presents. Indeed, if you're like I was when I was a little boy, you would be most put out if you didn't have more Christmas presents than everybody else in the family put together. I was an horrible little boy. Having received a or many more Christmas presents, what are you going to do? In the case of some, I suspect it will be, "Oh, this is fun to play with," and you'll go and disappear off into some part of the house where you can be all by yourself and just play with it endlessly. And I'm sure there are one or two who are thinking, "If only I could have my own computer, I could go into my bedroom and I wouldn't have to have anything to do with anybody else, and I could just play away on the computer all by myself without any interruption at all." I'm not looking at anybody, I'm not mentioning any names. But surely, having received a present, there is one thing that you should do first, or at least as soon as possible, having received it. You should say thank you very much to whoever gave you the Christmas present. Even if it's only a keychain. I have a friend who said he would love to have a particular keychain. So I got one made for him and sent it to him and said, "There's a special treat coming in the post." And when it arrived, he phoned up all the way from America to say thank you. It's just what he wanted. And it was just what he wanted. He was really, really pleased and said thank you for the gift that had been given to him. And if we give gifts to people, and I'm sure all the children have been very careful to think of something they could get for their brother or sister, or brothers or sisters, something extra special they could get for them, then they've done that, and so their brothers and sisters will be saying thank you to them, and of course you'll be saying thank you back to them for what they've given to you. And if they don't, you'll think, well, I'm not going to bother giving them anything on their birthday or next Christmas if they're not going to be grateful for what I've given them this time. Well, you might forget about it over the course of the next year. You do know there are only another 364 shopping days for Christmas, so you better get thinking about what you're going to get for them next year. But you will have forgotten by next year that they were mean and nasty and didn't say thank you to you for what you had given them. And you probably will get them something, and you'll be a year older, and you'll be able to think about better things that you can buy them instead of giving them that pencil that you found behind the bookcase last week. And you'll be able to think of something more useful for them. Perhaps you'll buy them a pencil sharpener to go with the pencil. Very useful. But you won't think much if they give you a gift and you don't say thank you. So what do you think God is to make of us? When God has given us a gift, and not only do we not say thank you, we turn round and say to God, get lost. I'm not interested in your gift. I don't want your gift. I'm quite all right as I am, thank you very much, go away. But that is what so many people do with God and God's gift. And we read about God's gift. We read earlier in the Gospel of Luke about how God sent the Lord Jesus Christ into the world to save his people. Now, we all know the old jokes. Jesus saves, but your favourite footballer puts in the rebounds. Or Jesus saves with the Halifax, which was probably not a good idea considering the current state of Halifax, Bank of Scotland. We all know the old jokes. But when the Bible talks about saving, it's talking about rescuing, being delivered from a great danger. And we are all in great danger, and we need to be delivered from that great danger. Because the problem is, as we have been seeing in the last few weeks, we have rebelled against God. We do not do the things that God says we should do, and we do the things that God says we should not do. We have rebelled. We say, God, I'm not interested, God, go away. Some people go as far as to say, God, you don't even exist. It's a bit like someone sending you a present through the post, and you say, oh, I wonder who this is from. Oh, it says it's from so-and-so. Well, I don't believe they exist, so I don't need to say thank you. Every day we wake up, and why do we wake up in the morning? It's because God has given us another day of life. God knows when we were born. God knew where we were going to be born, and God knows when we're going to leave this life. It's an amazing thought that none of us know when we're going to leave. God knows. God knows it all. And it's a bit foolish to say, oh, well, he doesn't exist. People say, oh, but we don't need God. Look at all the problems belief in God has caused down through the years. No, it's man who has caused all the problems down through the years. If we were all perfect as we should be, life would be wonderful. But life is not as wonderful as it could be because we decide not to do what God says, but rather to do what we say and we think. And so God is justifiably angry with us because of the way we respond to him. And that's why it's so remarkable that we read all these stories about the Lord Jesus Christ coming into the world. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't come into the world to destroy us. He didn't come into the world to punish us. He came to save us. He came to deliver us from the consequences of our actions, of our thoughts, and of our words. God has been extremely kind to us, gracious, loving, and merciful, and yet still we reject him. In this passage in John chapter 1, it says, he came to his own people, and his own people did not receive him. They said, get lost, go away, we don't want you. We want someone who's going to come and kick out the Romans. We don't like this Roman oppression. And that's not what you're offering. You're offering to deliver us from the things we've done wrong. Well, we like the things we've done wrong, and we like doing them. Go away. They did not receive him. But there is this wonderful promise to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave a right to become children of God. That's remarkable. Going from being God's enemies to his friends, but not just his friends, his children. We are not all by nature God's children. We are by nature God's enemies. But we become God's children when we listen to what God says and we believe it and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice verse 13. These people who become children of God were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. It's not as an accident of birth. We don't say, oh, I'm a Christian because I was born in England, or Wales, or Scotland, or Northern Ireland, or the Western world. That doesn't make a person a Christian any more than sitting in a McDonald's makes you a hamburger, or sitting in the garage makes you a car. People become children of God. They become children of God by listening to what God says and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they do, they receive from God forgiveness. And many of you are bored to hear me say this again, but it was 38 years and 2 days ago when God forgave me. Standing at the top of the stairs of my parents' house, having been greatly troubled, knowing that I had offended God, and having got up and about to go down for breakfast, I stood with one foot hovering in midair, about to drop to the next step, and I stopped and said to myself, God has forgiven me. How could God have forgiven me of all the things I've done? And my foot went down onto the first step. And I thought, but he has. I know he has. And 15 minutes later, when I got down to the bottom of the flight of stairs, there were 15 of them, I said to myself, and yes, it did take me that long to get down the stairs, because I was having this argument all the way down. I got to the bottom and I said to myself, I don't understand this. All I've done is believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet God has forgiven me for all those things that were preying upon my conscience. Isn't God good? And I got back to college in January 1973, and people started to ask questions. What's happened to this guy? He's so different from what he was like before Christmas. He's not the same person anymore. He's acting nice to know. How unusual. He was obnoxious before Christmas. What's happened? That's because God had forgiven me and transformed my heart. And that's what God offers to all men and women in the world today if they will listen to what God says and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He will forgive them, make them his children, and give them confidence and certainty about an eternal home in heaven forever. Sorry, that's tautologist, but it does emphasize the point. God has promised us these wonderful gifts if we will receive them. Our problem is that we prefer to carry on going our own way and ignoring God and rejecting the offer of forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I hope that this Christmas Day will be a day of rejoicing and of gifts, not just because of happiness at being together and exchanging gifts, but that we know God through belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, who forgives our sins.